7. The Skins and the Sword. Now, before the man and woman were sent out, Davar told them what they did would have a cost. That is the shape of every dealing El Elyon has ever had with a ruined creature. The sentence, and then the price, and then the door. And the Lord Davar stood with the two of them in the cool of the evening, with the leaves round their waists, and he told them the whole tale, the legend of the age. He and his father had made provision for this day before ever there was a day. Before the first light was struck, before a star was hung, or a beast made, or a garden planted, El Elyon and Davar had looked down the length of all the ages to this evening and made an agreement before it all. For the man and the woman had been made free, and the possibility of their fall was even then a road that lay open. And the agreement between them was this, that if the day of darkness came, and come it might, the sun, Davar himself, would pay the price of the death that was owed. El Elyon had said it in the garden before ever the serpent was in the tree, that in the day they ate, they would die. And Davar did not unsay it now. They would die, but they would not die forever. The debt would be answered out of Davar's own body, the greatest gift El Elyon could ever give to the man and woman and all their generations. Davar would one day die so mankind could live. And the watchers heard him say it, and leaned so far over the rim of Ramoth that the light of them fell down into the garden. And the ruined one heard it too, and did not understand a syllable of it, for his selfish, blackened heart could not understand such a gift. And instead, he thought that he had won. So, the man and woman knew. Before they had walked one step out of the garden, before there was a nation, or an altar, or a law, or a priest, anywhere in the world, they were told the whole of it, in plain words, standing in the wreck of everything. Why he did that has been asked by this water 100 times. The best answer at this fire is this. He did not want them going out of that gate wondering. He would rather they went out carrying a grief they could not measure than a doubt they could not answer. Then the Lord Davar made coats of skins and clothed them. And the clothing was more than the coats, and the fathers set it with their hands over their eyes. He would be their covering, and the covering would cost him what the coats had cost the lamb. He would be their comfort in the exile, and at the last, their raising up into the light of Ramoth. But that was a long way off, and today was today. What they carried out of the gate was a promise, and they carried it all the long centuries of their painful lives and handed it down. And it has come the whole way down to this fire. And the old fathers handed it down. They said that the man did the killing, and that the watchers of Ramoth stood on the rim above the garden and watched with wonder and deepest sorrow. For they had never, in all their long existence, seen death of any kind. Then Davar showed man what must be done and gave him the knife and stood there. And that Adam, who had named that animal with his own mouth on the 6th afternoon, who had put out his hand and given it the sound it would be called by forever, had to take it by the head and hold it down and do the thing no one had ever seen done. He must kill. And that he wept, and that his hands would not do it properly, and that the beast did not understand and did not struggle much, and that it took longer than he thought it would, and that when it was over, he sat down in the grass beside it and could not get up, and that Davar waited. Whether that is the way of it cannot be proved, and it will not be pretended. But something in that garden died on the first evening of the ruined world, and it was not the man, and it was not the woman, and it was not guilty of anything at all, and it was warm, and then it was not. There was blood on the grass of Eden. There was a smell in a place that had never had that smell in it. There was a bird somewhere that went on singing, which is the detail we cannot get past. The bird sang when the watchers could not, because they understood the truth that the bloody lamb was only the symbol of a much greater sacrifice to one day be made by El Elyon and Dava. So in Ramoth, the watchers stood over that garden and saw the first death in the history of the world. It was a small, clean creature that had done nothing, lying on its side in the grass. And two people who, that morning, had never seen anything die, stood over the body of an animal they had known by name, in the skins of it, learning what a covering costs. Their leaves were gone and replaced by a life to wear. Set the two coverings side by side on the table and look at them. One was grown in a garden, sewn by two pairs of hands, cost nothing, took but a minute to make, and went brown. The other covering was killed, and it was put on them by the hands of the one they had wronged, and they walked out of Eden warm in the skin of an innocent creature, having paid for none of it. That is the shape of the gift. It has been the shape of it in every age since, and every lamb that will ever be led up a ramp to an altar in this chronicle, and there will be rivers of them, is walking in the footprints of a beast that died in a garden with a weeping man's hand on its neck. And in Abaddon they cheered again, for they saw a corpse. Understand how it looked from down there, and you will understand why he has lost every war he has ever fought. He had brought death into the good world, and here was the first death, lying on the grass with the light gone out of its eye. And the man who had caused it was standing over it with blood to the wrist. And the ruined one looked up through the floor of the world at the wreck of everything and counted it a victory. And it was the second time in one afternoon that he had been shown the entire plan of God and had failed to read it. He saw a dead animal. And the ruin called himself the author of death, and he was not, for he had made nothing there either. And El Elyon said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever." And there the sentence stops. Look at it in the record. It stops unfinished, with a lest hanging in the air. And it is the only sentence in the writings that El Elyon does not finish, and we think he could not finish it, because the end of it is unbearable. Lest he live forever, lest a creature with the empty room in him made for the light of Ramoth to dwell had gone dark, and the rot already in his blood, and a murder coming up in his eldest son should reach out and eat and be fixed like that, unkillable, unmendable, unforgiven, going down and down and down, living forever with no bottom and no door and no way out. That is not a garden anymore. That is Abaddon repeated only with fruit trees in it, and the fallen would have laughed themselves hoarse, and it is the one thing they wanted, and it is the one thing they were not given. So Dava sent the man and the woman out of the garden, and that is the word, and it is a hard word, and the record uses a harder one the second time. He sent them forth from the Garden of Eden, with the man to till the ground from whence he was taken. Now note that they did not stand at the gate arguing, and every man who has ever read this and thought it cruel has read it upside down, and we did too, for years, and we are ashamed of it. The closed gate to the Garden of Delight is the kindest thing El Elyon and Dava could do. The gate of Eden was shut to keep a ruined man from becoming a ruined man forever, and the shutting of it is the reason there is anything left in this chronicle for us to write about. And the door was locked from the outside by the hand of a father who was already, that same evening, planning how to get his children back in. Abaddon and the evil ruin read the shut gate as a victory, and has been reading it as a victory ever since. And it has never once occurred to him to ask why a maker, who had just been robbed, did not simply burn the orchard down. And Devar placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now stop and listen, because we who tell this tale know the garden's creatures. They stood in our house, in our sanctuary and temple. They were woven into the veil that hung across the innermost room, so that no man could go in without going in past them. They stood over the seat of mercy with their wings out, and the glory came down between them. And the door of that house faced the sunrise, exactly as the gate of the garden faced the sunrise, so that a man going into God has always been a man walking west. Back up the road, his father was driven down. The man was put into the garden to dress it and to keep it, to serve and to guard. And now the guarding is taken away from him and given to Irin with a sword to keep the way of the tree of life and protect it. The man was told to keep the garden, and he did not keep it. So he is put outside the thing he failed to guard, and the holy Irin are set to guard it against him. That is the sentence, and it is exact, and it is the sort of exactness that makes a man sit down on the ground. We, mankind, are not the keepers anymore. We are the thing that is being kept out, and to this day, almost every gate in the history of the world has something with wings on it standing in the door. And the tale lives on, though men no longer hear the words. But mark what the sword is set to do, for it is the last word of this telling, and it is the reason we can sleep. It is set to keep the way of the tree of life, not to burn the tree, not to fell it, not to root it out, not to blot the whole thing off the earth and be done with it. And he could have, in a breath, and nobody would have had a word to say. But know that we have heard that the tree is still standing. The road to it is still there. It is guarded, and it is guarded by fire and a sword, and no son of Adam can approach it or even know where it may be found. But a road with a guard on it is a road that still exists somewhere, and a thing that is kept is a thing that is being kept for somebody.